I want to begin my message by saying I'm so thankful that salvation is not a foot race between man and the devil. I'm glad that Jesus didn't just pay the first installment on my salvation. I'm glad that I'm not billed every 30 days for my redemption. If there's one message on the face of this earth that I'd like to get over to the hearts of men, it would be the message tonight. Last night was a glorious night under this tent. Really, the service mounted last night. And people came to be saved and blessed. And last night we preached on the most precious theme in the Bible. The truth that kills or cures. It delivers or destroys. Namely, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, I'd like for us to come into the Bible. Lot of wonderful scriptures that we'd like to read for you and explain to you. I think we'll call the message tonight, The Two Greatest Doctors That Have Ever Lived. They're so unusual. They really are. These doctors. You know, we're living in a time when doctors specialize in particular things. Used to, when I was born 48 years ago, a doctor was just a doctor. All of them had about the same size pill bag. All of them had calomel in the pill bag. All of them talked in terms of compound cathartics. Nearly all of them said, when they came to see you, let me see your tongue. And I tell you, the tongue tells a heap of things, doesn't it? I mean, spiritually and physically. I'll come to that in the morning. The kind of clothes that your tongue wears will tell you what's going on inside. You ever heard the fellow say his tongue had a coat on it? You better watch that coat, boys. But that's not all of it either. Brother, the way you talk tells a heap about what you're thinking about on the inside. But in these other days, we have doctors who specialize. We have a doctor that he said, I'm a practical. I'm just a general doctor. We have another doctor, he's a surgeon. We have one that's a specialist for the eye, ear, and nose. We have people that specialize in x-ray work, laboratory work, experimentation, and so forth. Tonight, I want to talk with you about two specialists. They've been specialists through all the years. The most unusual you could ever think about in all of your life. Let me tell you before I read the scripture how unusual they are. In the first place, they never make a charge. That's unusual, isn't it? And neither have they ever lost a case. And that's really unusual. They never make a charge. They never have lost a case. One is despised, and the other is misunderstood. Can you imagine that? The two greatest doctors, and yet one of them is despised, and the other is really misunderstood in this old world tonight. All of the doctors hate them. They fellowship with no other doctors in all the world. They're unusual. Even though they're the greatest doctors, they have less patience than some of the quacks. Can you imagine that? Never lost a case, never made a charge, and yet most people will drive right by their office and won't even so much as knock on the door, turn in, or even ask them if they could do anything for them. I'm talking to you about the gospel tonight. The saving gospel of Jesus Christ. When they make their examinations, they have no consultations with other doctors. None. They never call in any other doctor in their case. Never. Thank God for that. They don't need any other. They're unusual doctors. They're unusual. And then they never recommend an external treatment. They work on the insides altogether. Now that's hard for the flesh to take. Because the flesh has got it already figured out. I'll show you in a minute when we come to this first doctor and knock on his door and get inside. And the flesh is going to tell the doctor what's wrong with you. Amen? And that's about the way people come to church. And they'll tell the preacher what's wrong with them. But brother, you better sit still and let the preacher tell you what's wrong with you. These are unusual doctors because they never ask the patients any questions. They just never do. They never do ask them about the symptoms. They never ask them where they hurt. They never ask them what their condition has been the last 30 days. That's a strange thing, these two doctors. Now you have your Bible. It's time to read the Scripture. And, of course, you'll figure out, I'm sure, why we're reading the Scripture. And we must read a good deal of Scripture found in the book of Romans, that great doctrinal treatise that God sent to us many years ago. We're going to begin reading in the 5th chapter. And we'll read chapter 5, verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin at verse 5. That's Romans 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What should we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. That's the death we need tonight under this tent. God send his heavenly undertaker around tonight. And load us all in and haul us off. And then bring some new men back for this meeting. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, this is sweet and precious, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. But the natural man, get this now, let me comment. The natural man, he doesn't like it because it is holy. Because it is just. Because the law is good. He doesn't like it because he's bad. And when a bad man runs into a good law, he hates it. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful, for we know that the law is spiritual. But I'm carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's your great revelation of human nature. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the reason we need to quit catering to the flesh. That's the reason you can't build a great church catering to the flesh, because there's not anything good in the flesh. And the more you humor the flesh, the more you've got to humor the flesh. Now we hear him cry with a broken heart, the 24 and 25, the verses there. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now then, I do not know that we need much of a division between the 7th and 8th chapters, because he comes into his conclusion, and we read it for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's not any judgment, he said. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, get it, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And brother, as long as you depend on your works, or on keeping a certain day, or on keeping certain ordinances, are doing what a certain man says do besides the Bible, you're living by law and cannot be saved by it. The law could not do it. Now here's the fourth verse. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But oh, that ninth verse. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. But he said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now then, let's run over, if you will, to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. And this is the book, you know, that Paul had to write to the Galatian church, because it looked like they wanted to go back into bondage. And he said, I'm so surprised you have gone to another gospel, which really is not another, but there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel. And those gospel perverters are still in the world. Did you know that? They're knocking on the doors awful thick these days. And unless you're grounded in the Word of God, your preacher's going to be saying, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is really not another. And Paul went ahead to say, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Put the curse of God on him if he preaches any other gospel. There's not but one. Now let's begin reading at verse 16 of the second chapter of the book of Galatians. Now folks, if you missed the foundation of the message, you may miss the superstructure tonight. I'm talking with you, and I'm laying the foundation, or letting the Lord lay it with his word, in the 16th verse, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, not any of it. No flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now then, let's go a little bit further. We'll have to go to the third chapter, and I believe we'll have to sort of cease our reading along here in the third chapter, beginning at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now then, I want to read another verse, starting at the 22nd verse, I believe, of that same third chapter. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, here it is, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, I believe I'll stop reading there. Now let me give an illustration. He said that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. After we get to Christ, we're delivered from the law. I mean, the law kills. The law kills. The law has nothing to do, so far as our salvation is concerned, after we get saved. We're not saved by the law. We're diagnosed by the law. For instance, there's a man out here, and Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, I see over here, I saw the hearse taken off a while ago with a siren. Looked like they were going maybe to pick up a body or something. And now, when a person dies, the law didn't have anything to do with them. You can put a dead man in the back of a funeral car, and you can drive 125 miles an hour. It doesn't bother him. They can run every red light in town. Don't bother him. I mean, you can put a pistol on each side of him in a casket with him. And load it to the hilt. But I'll guarantee you, when the officers run that hearse down and pull you over to the side, they're not filing charges against him. Amen? I mean, it just doesn't affect him one way or the other. I mean, the man driving the car doesn't look bad and said, hey, bud, said, am I going too fast for you? You don't mind me running through this red light, do you? Oh, don't bother me. Just go ahead. Well, I'm dead that red light. Amen? Huh, I'm dead to all speed limits. Just take off. Hey, you see what I'm talking about? Brother, the law kills, and we're dead to the law, and then we live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. These laws, they got passed around here in Tampa. They don't bother me a great deal. They don't bother me. I mean, they got laws over here in Tampa, Florida, that said you can't even kill anybody. Isn't that a sight? Of course, I tell you what, that doesn't keep them from killing them, does it? That law has nothing to do with the lawless. Amen? But those of us who are not under the law, we don't need that law. There's a law here in Tampa that says that you're not to enter another man's house and take anything out of it. That doesn't affect me. I don't want what you got in your house. God saw to it that I'd have enough to put in my own house, and so I just trust him for it. Amen? That law don't bother me. My boys are all of them on probation. And sometimes they say, well, Brother Roloff, they gave me 5 years probation. I said, I won't bother you as long as you live right. I said, I wouldn't care. Tell the judge he can put me on 5 years probation if he wants to. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. I tell you, law don't bother God's children. We're not under law, we're under grace. Under grace. And I'm going to show you in a minute, and I'm going to take plenty of time, so stay with me, on how to get into grace. Oh, I tell you, wonderful, dear friend, is this great doctrine. There's just one doctrine in the Bible. And the world's so confused about it. And that's grace. They don't understand. I get so tired of hearing people say, well, I'm for grace just as much as you are. But I don't but my grace. I just go ahead and believe it's all of grace. Oh, listen, dear friend. You'd say, Brother Olof, let me ask you a question. Do you believe it's possible to fall from grace? If the Bible says so, yes. I said, if the Bible says so. You said, all right, I got you. Read it. I'll read it for you. It's found in the book of Galatians. That same book we've been reading out of, isn't it? Huh? Turn on over. Let's get it. We can't run from anything in the Bible. If the Bible says you got to be baptized in order to be saved, I believe that. And that's exactly what it says. Amen? I didn't think some of you'd say just two amens on that. We don't have to be afraid. Man said to me, oh, I think he's over in Texas, he said, Brother Olof, you know, you ought to join our movement. There's only one thing that you leave out, and that's you don't preach that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. I said, that's what you think. I preach it. He said, you mean you preach that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved and go to heaven? I said, man, I guess I do. Well, he said, boy, you're ready to join up with our movement. He said, and he asked me again. I said, sure, I believe that. The Bible said by one Spirit were you all baptized into Christ. That's baptism. I said, difference between me, you talk about the creek and I talk about Christ. I'm talking about grace tonight. Brother, you're not saved by works and grace. You're not saved by grace through faith plus works, or plus baptism, or plus a trip to the priest, or plus the Virgin Mary, or plus the Baptist church. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. You don't believe it? You're all warped in your doctrine. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the Bible. This is the thing that's anchored my poor stumbling feet through these 30 years. This is the one thing that kept me from going to the right and going to the left or detouring. This is the one thing that's held me these 30 years is salvation by grace. Greatest revelation God ever gave my little old foggy mind was when he told me, son, I paid it all. I've paid it all. Brother, you'll go to heaven completely by the blood of Christ or you'll not go at all. Praise the Lord for his wonderful goodness. I tell you, well, he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. Well, looks to me like a man can fall from grace. Yes, sir. Said you're fallen from grace. But wait a minute. Read that whole thing. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a bunch of people that had renounced salvation by grace. He's talking to a bunch that went back under the yoke, to the yoke of bondage. They went back to the law. And he said, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you folks that have refused to come to Christ in grace, he said, you've fallen away from being justified by grace. And they were in grace. I can fall away from the Tampa Bay. I sure can. I can fall from Tampa Bay. But it doesn't mean I'm in Tampa Bay. If I fall in the opposite direction, I'm falling from it. And oh, my dear friend, there's a lot of people that have fallen from grace because they never were in grace. Now then, I want to introduce you to the first doctor. He's always in his office. He's never gone. Now, sinner friend, if you ever intend to get in to grace, you've got to come to this doctor first, right here. Now, you're not going to like him. I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to like him. But I'll guarantee you, everybody's got to go see him. You'll never have a desire, you'll never feel a need to go to the other doctor until you come to this doctor. I've already read about him in the Bible. His name is Dr. Law. Dr. Law. He's a great doctor. He's very firm. Not much foolishness about him at all. He doesn't get along very well with a lot of people, and so I better go see him. I know there's something wrong with me. And so I go and step inside the office, say to the secretary, "Is Dr. Law in?" "Oh, he's always in." "Will he see me?" "Yes, sir, he's waiting for you now." "He knew you were coming today." I said, "He did?" I step inside, and old Dr. Law, brother, he's the sternest looking doctor I've ever seen. He just told me what to do. He said, "Get over here." And I got over there. He said, "You lay down there." And I laid down. I said, "Dr. Law, do you think you can find out what's wrong with me?" He said, "No, sir. I don't think so. I know I can." Well, I said, "That's good. I've sure been to a lot of doctors." I said, "Dr. Law, how long do you think it'll take you to find out and to run me through your clinic?" He said, "I've already run you through." I said, "You mean you know all?" "Oh, yes," he said, "I sure do." He said, "You've got the same trouble every patient has ever had that's ever come to me." Well, I said, "If you don't mind, just tell me what it is." He said, "You have heart trouble." I said, "Doc, come on now. Come on. Listen, I tell you, in the first place, surely every one of your patients wouldn't have the same thing. That doesn't even make sense to me." See, law don't make sense to the old sinner, does it? I said, "Doctor, you don't understand. I've been having trouble with my hands. Now, is something wrong?" I said, I just sit up at night and deal with a deck of cards, and somehow or another my hands are just, and I just sit for hours dealing the deck of cards, and it must be my hands." No, he said, "It's your heart. It's your heart." I said, "Doc, I don't like to argue with you. I know you're a doctor, but I said, you just don't understand. I said, I believe I'm having trouble with my eyes. I mean, it's nothing for me to sit 2 or 3 hours in one night and watch Hollywood. I just said, and Doc, I'll tell you, I just make up my mind every night. I'm so tired when I go to bed about 11 or 12 o'clock when that late show or gun smoke or something. But the next night, my eyes start looking at that. I know that I'm having eye trouble."